Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's always a pleasure. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things, including the blog that you can check out while you're there. And it's all free. It's all available to you thanks to my organization and our great corporate partners. Lowell Kay is our new friend, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell is founder and the president of the DR Group. And Lowell has a very interesting story to tell us. You've heard me talk before, folks, about all the people in the 21st century who have looked around and said, you know what, I see a niche. I see something that either nobody's ever seen before, or the way the marketplace is stratified, it's left this little hole, this little opportunity, and I see that. I'm going to see if I can't find a way to find some success with that niche. And Lowell has a great story along those very lines. Lowell, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. Now you used to be a caterer.
Yeah, I was a caterer in Prague.
What were you doing in Prague?
Well, I had gone to college at USC. I got an opportunity to travel Europe. And again, another opportunity came about. I was cooking for some friends, and they said, you cannot leave this country without cooking for us, because nobody was cooking some good food in 92.
Yeah.
I said, you got to buy this business. Bought a business for $500 and was there for a year.
Huh. And how did you get from Prague, from cooking in Prague, to the film industry?
Again, there was an opportunity that was presented. I actually got a call from my father. There was a business opportunity to sell used or excess, I should say, motion picture film, or raw stock, they call it. It's the stuff that's left over. Let's say Steven Spielberg shot a movie. He has a lot of extra film that goes out to bid, and we purchased
it. How did you, before you go into all that, how did you get attached? Or how did you get connected to where you could even see that that's what was going on? What did that have to do with being in Prague in the catering business?
Absolutely nothing. That's okay. The funny thing. Literally, my father gave me a call, and he said, hey, there's this business opportunity. Are you interested? I knew nothing about it at that particular time. There was a person that was involved in it that had presented a business opportunity, and they needed a partner. And what ended up happening was is that I learned the business within 6 months.
And now tell us what that business is.
Okay. Again, what it does is that, it still does, is that we buy the excess film from major motion pictures, commercials, whoever shot excess film. They sell it off after each production. And then what we do is we sort the film, we figure out, we grade it, and we decide a value for it. And then it's sold off to independents that need film at a lower price that can't buy it from the major manufacturers.
Movies are still being made on film?
Quite a few, actually. There's less independents, but the major films like MI3, RV, or anything that you see in the top 10 are all being shot on film.
And they're not using digital?
Not yet. That is right around the corner, though. For the majority of the major films that you're going to see in the theaters, they're still being shot on film.
And why is that? Do you know?
Old habits die hard.
They're still stuck in the 20th century, aren't they?
Well, there's some technical reasons. I don't think we necessarily want to go into that right now, but cost is not one of them.
Is film expensive?
For the normal independent filmmaker, yeah, it's very expensive, and it's not just the film.
In making a 2-hour film, what would the film cost? What would be the cost of just the film?
It could cost up to, it depends upon, it could go anywhere from, $15,000 up to, $100,000. But the real cost comes in the fact that there's processing. There's something called telecine, which is the transfer from film to video. And there are many other costs associated with it. So it could come up to $1 a foot for, when you're all finished.
All right. Is that for the new stuff?
That's new. Yeah, that's new film.
All right.
Yeah.
And then, so then when they get through, how much would they have left over after a movie?
Again, depends upon the movie. And, and the location and everything. But sometimes they can have I've seen up to 250,000 feet.
Huh. But they don't want that. If they're a big shot studio, they don't want to use the leftovers and splice it together, right? They want to start out with new stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
You find the niche, they throw this away or sell it to somebody, and you find the idea of buying this up and splicing it together?
You don't actually splice it together. You use the parts as they are, and you sell them off as they are.
So if you've got 1,000 feet, maybe that'd be enough for a 30-second commercial.
No, because the shooting ratio is 1,000 feet is only 11 minutes worth of shooting time, and most commercials shoot anywhere from 11,000 to 25,000 feet.
Okay, just to get 30 seconds.
Just to get 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
So you can start seeing the shooting ratios and how they apply to feature films.
So what you're saying is you found a way to get people what they needed without having to pay, they didn't have to buy stuff off the front end of the roll at a premium price. They only needed 30,000 feet, so they buy it from you off the back end of the roll.
Exactly. And so we took that same philosophy. We just kept on watching the marketplace. And we were noticing that some of our clients, the 16-millimeter clients, were no longer purchasing from us.
Huh.
And they kept on asking questions, what's going on? And we discovered something called DV, or a digital film, or a digital tape. And these cameras started appearing. They were like $3,000, $5,000 cameras. And if you remember, about 7 years ago, that we started seeing a lot of films that were shot on digital video.
Right.
And I started looking around and saying, okay, our marketplace is changing. Our customer is changing. How are we going to adapt? How are we going to be a part of that marketplace? And I discovered that there was a product called Final Cut Pro. And the decision to go into Final Cut Pro was because these people that we were applying our sales to were independent filmmakers and not the major Hollywood. And major Hollywood was all about Avid Technologies. So we moved over to Final Cut Pro.
Hold on to that thought. Folks, the idea here is to introduce you to someone who took a niche, identified a niche, and found a place for it, but never stopped innovating, never stopped thinking about the future, didn't rest on those laurels, continued to look for innovations for the next thing that he would be doing. Good lesson for all of us. 20 after. I'm Jim Blastingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our new friend, Lowell Kay, the founder and the president of DR Group, the DR Group. And Lowell, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's www.thedrgroup. That stands for Dr. Rostock.
.com,
excuse me.
All right. Thedrgroup.com. Lowell, you found this niche. It wasn't that long ago that you found the niche for reselling leftover videotape. But I'm sure you're a smart guy, and so you probably did basically what I did, which was to say, well, you know what, digital is on the way. How long are you going to be able to make a living doing this? You had to be thinking that and looking around, thinking, what else can I do?
Well, that's exactly right. If you look at still cameras, they're all digital now. Very, very few actual film cameras are being sold today. Kodak's announced that they are going to discontinue manufacturing film.
Hmm.
And, you know, that gets a person whose sole income comes from the sale of motion picture film a little bit nervous. So I decided that, you know, we better start looking around and take a very, you know, functional business, a very profitable business, and start looking for new ways to reinvent ourselves.
How many jobs will be lost? How many technicians are there on any given movie that are dedicated to the actual film?
Well, we're seeing the transition already. We're seeing digital technicians on set instead of ACs or assistant cameramen. They're making the transition right now, and we're seeing
Are those people able to make the leap, or are they just losing their jobs?
No, actually, there is a transition happening right now, and the industry is the people who are in the unions are taking courses, and they're transferring right now to adapt to this new technology.
Right. How's it going to affect editing?
Well, editing for the last 10 years has been digital. And I mentioned a process called telecine, which is the transfer of film to videotape. And that really was the beginning of how we edit movies on computers instead of being a tape-to-tape transfer. And the program that we're talking about, Final Cut Pro, and the product that we've become a very a strong leader in is just that. It's an editing program. So the transition from digital is really very it's very easy right now.
How much of your business is still selling leftover tape?
Well, actually, our digital business is almost a 3-to-1 at this point.
So from what you founded your company on 15 years or so ago, you now is only about 25% of your business.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
is that right?
That's right.
Was it hard to turn loose of that? Was it hard? I mean, you were dancing with the one what brought you to the dance. Was it hard to turn loose of that?
It's still hard. It's very hard because you have to believe in the new direction, and sometimes that's just not a really easy thing to do.
Why is that so hard for folks?
I think we get comfortable.
We fall in love with it.
We fall in love with it. It's easy. It's the same routine every day, and to change something is very difficult.
Lowell, I've been saying to my audience now for a long time, for more than a couple of 3 years, that if you have anything in your business that was in any way connected to the 20th century, whether it be a main product, a direction, a strategy, or even a product, even a resource, or anything that's sort of, you know, one or two off your main thing. Maybe it's just a computer. Maybe it's, well, no matter what it is, anything in your business that is a 20th century thing, if it's not holding you back now, it will shortly, probably, and may even take you down if you don't learn how to turn loose of it and come into the 21st century. What do you think?
I'm going to have to agree with that, especially after this experience for the last 6 years. This is, you know, taking a new product and really developing it along with Apple and to find the niche inside of it. I mean, we've made lots of mistakes and, you know, we've had lots of successes, too, with this particular product. I think the biggest success has been we are a rental house for this particular product where nobody else is.
Is this a software? Is Final Cut Pro software?
It's software combined with hardware.
So it's a box. It's a box with it's a smart box, basically.
Yes, exactly.
A smart box, and they can rent it. They don't have to own it. Why would they want to rent it?
Well, short-term projects don't want to spend the complete, you know, package. And the way that Hollywood works is that they don't necessarily want to have an asset at the end of their project. They want to be completely finished.
I have an instinct, and I've got about 30 seconds left, Lowell. I have an instinct that this is not a product you'll be selling in 5 years. What do you think?
Probably not, and we're going to have to reinvent yet once again.
You've got to reinvent yourself. This is something that more and more companies are going to have to do in the 21st century that we didn't have to do so much in the 20th century, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the technologies were stable. I think that especially when you're dealing with software and hardware and computers, it changes so drastically.
In the 20th century, technology wasn't stable. It was moldy. Hey, thank you, Lowell, for being here. Give us that website again.
www.thedrgroup.com.
Thank you, Lowell. Good job. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Quick break. Right back with our good friend, Lois Geller. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.